Penguin Random House Audio presents Not Working by Lisa Owens. Read for you by Tuppence Middleton.
Chapter 1. Wallflower. There is a man standing outside my flat wearing khaki greens and a huge Free Palestine badge.
"Are you the freeholder?"
he asks, and I turn to see if he's talking to someone else, but there is no one behind me. It buys me a second to remind myself which side of the Israel-Palestine conflict I am on.
"I think so, yes," I say, and then with more confidence, because now I'm sure.
"Yes, I'm definitely the freeholder." He scratches his neck, which is grey with dirt. His ears have the same ashy hue.
"You need to get the Bodleia removed. It's a hazard."
"Oh, right," I say, looking up to where he is pointing, to a plaster pillar on the front of the building, topped by an ornamental detail. I've never noticed it before, but now I'm embarrassed to see that the paintwork is cracked and filthy. If anyone had asked me to name it, if £1 million had been resting on it, I would have guessed it was called a balustrade. "Does it not serve a structural purpose?" I say. He stares at me, tugging on his beard, which tapers into a slender plait.
"It's a weed. It's not supposed to be there," he says, and now I understand.
There is a plant sprouting from the top of the thing, a spray of purple flowers. It's quite pretty.
"And, sorry, who are you?"
I ask, wondering if he's from the council, a neighbour, or an interfering passerby.
"Colin Mason, MBE,
he says, and offers a dusty hand. I hesitate for a fraction of a second before good manners kick in, and I take it.
"Claire,"
I say.
"Shall I deal with it, then?"
he asks, nodding up at the Bodleia.
"I'll do a bit of a paint job while I'm up there, too."
I'm going to have to talk to my boyfriend about it first, because we share the freehold. How can I reach you?"
"I'll be around," he says. "You'll see me about."
I go inside to wash my hand and call Luke. A woman answers, his colleague Fiona.
"He's scrubbing up for surgery," she says. "Can I get him to call you back?"
"Would you mind just holding the phone to him so I can have a quick word? 2 seconds, I promise." There's a fumbling noise and then Luke's voice.
"What's up?"
"There's a problem with our flat. A Bodleia needs removing."
"A what?"
I sigh.
"It's a weed. A purple flowering weed.
The guy outside said it needs to go."
"What guy?"
"Colin Mason."
"Who's that?"
"He has an MBE. He was pretty adamant."
"So, what do you want to do? Do you need to call someone? Can I leave it with you?"
"Claire," he says, "I've got to go."
"Yes, leave it with me. What do you want to do for dinner?"
"He won't be home for dinner," Fiona says. "He's going to be working late."
"Oh," I say. "I think I'll sit tight on the Bodleia thing for a while, see if it develops."
Tube. Three women opposite talk about the weather as if it's a friend they don't much like.
"And that's another thing," says one, leaning in. "My no tights till October rule has gone straight out the window."
Her companions bob their heads, uncross and recross their nylon-clad legs. The other. My mother phones me on her lunch break. I can hear she's in a cafe.
"Where are you?"
she asks, as though she's picking up a baffling background cacophony instead of the silence in my kitchen.
"At home?"
"I see.
How's the you-know-what going?"
She means job hunt. Calling it the you-know-what is, incredibly, less annoying than the question itself.
"Yep, fine, just trying to crack on. Listen, before you go, what do you make of this? I had an awful dream last night that I saw Diane, the, Diane from work. It was definitely Diane, but in the dream, I thought she was someone else, a stranger."
Until now, I have only heard my mother describe her as Diane the Black Lady on reception. I have a feeling there is more to come.
"Funnily enough,"
this is said as though it's just occurred to her,
"I did see a woman who I thought was Diane yesterday in town and went to say hello, but then realised it wasn't her." She laughs. "Claire, what do you think? Do you think she would have been offended?"
"Who?" I say, because I can't resist. "Diane or the person you thought was Diane?"
"The other lady, not Diane. Do you think she would have known that I confused her with someone else? With another
woman of colour?" I help her out. Oh, my mother says. I don't think that's very PC. I don't think you can say coloured nowadays.
Tube. A few seats down the carriage, there's an old man knitting, bald and cosy in a big white woolen cardigan. I smile at him and raise my eyebrows. And when I do, I see the earrings, purple, dangly ones, and realise it isn't an old man at all, but a woman, not so old, my mother's age maybe, who has lost all her hair. She grins at me, the needles clicking away, and I keep my eyebrows up, smiling hard at my hands, which lie still in my lap. Wake. After the mains are cleared away, the waiters, who are really just teenagers, bring out dessert, bowls of melting ice cream and fruit swimming in syrup. I'm sitting at the children's table with the other children. We're all over 25. My cousin, Stuart, who beneath his suit jacket is wearing a No Fear t-shirt, asks me what I'm doing these days. I'm working that out, I say. I've had a lot of wine. It keeps coming and I keep drinking it. I quit my job 2 weeks ago so I could take a bit of time to try to figure out why I'm here. Not in a religious way, but I believe everyone has a purpose. Like how you were made to be in computers. That makes total, perfect sense. I stop, worried suddenly that he's a normal engineer and not a software engineer, but he nods. Marketing wasn't your calling, then? Creative communications, I correct him. Won't lie, I never really knew what that meant. I prepare to launch into an explanation, then realise I may never need to again. Doesn't matter anymore. There aren't any spoons, Stuart says, and I beckon one of the teenagers over. Could you bring us some spoons, please? I am indignant that I should even have to ask, and my tone is pleasingly chilly. The boy waiter smirks. When he comes back, he's clutching a bouquet of knives, which he releases in a silver cascade in front of me. No spoons left, he says. No forks either. We're really busy today. I shake my head. Unbelievable, I mutter to Stuart as we dole out the knives. I slice off some of the shrinking ice cream island and carefully lift it to my mouth. I look across to the table where my poor grandmother is sitting. Her husband of 60 years is only just in the ground, and she's licking a speared peach half like a lollipop. During coffee, Stuart's dad, my Uncle Richard, gives a speech about gum. He pokes gentle fun at the pride gum took in his war wounds, the scars from his many operations. He really did love to show off his war wounds, I say to our table. My cousins nod and smile, murmuring agreement. And more, I continue, pointing down at my lap and laughing, even after the heart op. Whoa, says my cousin Faye. What? Gum used to show you his... Oh, no. Show makes it sound... It wasn't... I don't think it was really on purpose or anything, I say. Everyone is looking at me. No one is talking. Honestly, it definitely wasn't a big deal at all. I always thought it was... Did no one else have this? How it used to just kind of slip out? Faye is shaking her head. Her ears poking through her thin blonde hair have turned red. I glance around at all the other cousins' faces. Most are gazing into their coffee. I dump a packet of sugar into mine and stir it with the knife I save from dessert. Dream. At night, driving on the motorway, my lights won't turn on, but each passing car has theirs on full beam, dazzling between fretful stretches of darkness. Context is everything. The buddleia, or buddleia, according to one website, can either be a beautiful flowering garden bush attractive to butterflies, or a vile, destructive, invasive weed. Bus. I take the bus to the gym I can't really afford anymore. I choose a seat by the window and try to make progress with my book. I've been reading Ulysses for nearly 9 months. When I've read the same paragraph 5 or 6 times, I look up, desperate for some relief from the words. An old guy in a powder blue jacket with long, sparse hair is coming slowly down the aisle. He looks around for a seat, but they're all taken and no one gets up, so like a stoic, he sets his mouth and grips the handrail next to him. I think about offering mine, but I'd have to ask the woman next to me to move. She looks important, smartly dressed as if she's going to a meeting. She's reading through some notes and I don't want to disturb her or make her feel bad that she didn't offer up her seat. I go back to Ulysses and, burning with the effort of pretending I haven't noticed the old guy, I finally make it onto the next page. When the woman next to me gets off, the old man stays where he is.
I watch him sway and shuffle with the movement of the bus.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?